Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, June 28th, Gaza faces a dire health and sanitary dilemma. The Holy See decries the alarming increase of children killed in armed conflicts, and the Pope hopes to visit Turkey for the anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Turning to the war in the Holy Land and especially the humanitarian emergency in Gaza, the United Nations says only a small number of UNRWA health centers are operational there. Nathan Morley reports.
UNRWA says that a serious shortage of medicine and food is hampering life-saving operations. At the same time, it highlighted the appalling sanitary situation in the enclave, where piles of waste and sewage are posing a massive danger to life. They say health conditions keep worsening due to lack of food, water and fuel, along with minimal access to medical supplies and the ongoing summer heat. Israel has been conducting a large-scale offensive against Hamas in the Gaza Strip to retaliate against a rampage through southern Israel in October last year, during which around 1,200 people were killed and more than 200 others were taken hostage. The Palestinian death toll from the conflict climbed to 37,718, according to the Hamas-run health authorities in Gaza. Earlier this week, a humanitarian aid ship carrying 2,000 pallets of supplies set sail from the port of Larnaca in Cyprus, heading towards the Gaza Strip. The vessel is laden with essential supplies, including flour, rice, canned and dry food, as well as tents and bedding intended for the residents of the besieged enclave. However, there are now increasing concerns that the weather and ground conditions may limit the aid operation. Elsewhere, the head of the Israeli Air Force has said that the country's forces are ready for a war against Hezbollah in Lebanon. Tom Barr said attacking the enemy in its own territory is the ultimate solution, claiming that Israel was ready against Hezbollah. His comments echo the Defense Minister Yoav Gallant's warning that the Israeli armed forces are capable of returning Lebanon to the Stone Age. Around 30 rockets and missiles launched from Lebanon struck Safed in northern Israel on Thursday night, causing power outages and damage to property. According to Haaretz newspaper, an Israeli daily, Washington has cautioned Israel that even a restricted ground operation in southern Lebanon could spark a full-scale conflict, drawing in Iran and its allies. Tensions have been rising along the Lebanon-Israel border since last October, following a rocket barrage launched by Hezbollah towards Israel to show its support for the surprise attack on southern Israel by Hamas. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The Deputy Permanent Observer of the Holy See to the United Nations, Monsignor Robert Murphy, has decried the alarming increase of children killed in armed conflict around the world and the international community's failure to protect them. His remarks came as he addressed on Thursday an open debate at the Security Council on the issue on the occasion of the 25th anniversary of Resolution 1261 and the 75th anniversary of the Geneva Conventions. Lisa Zingarini reports.
In his remarks, Monsignor Murphy highlighted the disturbing trend of the increase of children killed in armed conflict, especially those living in populated areas where the use of explosive weapons has a devastating impact. The latest report of the UN Secretary General has revealed that the percentage of children killed in armed conflict has tripled since 2022, along with the number and intensity of conflicts around the world. Monsignor Murphy expressed the Holy See's particular concern that lethal weapons are increasingly being used against schools, hospitals and places of worship, which he said should be safe havens especially for children. He also noted the influence of the illicit trafficking of small arms and light weapons on children, including their recruitment as child soldiers. The Vatican delegation therefore urged for effective measures to better protect children in conflict zones. Monsignor Murphy put forward 3 points for the Council's consideration. The first was that access to humanitarian assistance is crucial for protecting children. The second was that the cessation of the production, stockpiling and use of indiscriminate weapons is an essential component to limiting the impact of armed conflict on children. Finally, Monsignor Murphy urged the Council Working Group to guarantee the optimal utilisation of all available means to facilitate the implementation of the children and armed conflict agenda, which it has failed to do so far. This failure, he remarked, has concrete consequences for children in some of the most vulnerable situations. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Addressing members of ROACO, the Holy See's humanitarian arm for the Eastern Churches, Pope Francis reiterated his plea for peace and called for solidarity with Eastern Churches fleeing conflicts. His appeal rang out as he received ROACO representatives on Saturday morning in the Vatican at the conclusion of their plenary assembly. Speaking to Vatican Radio, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Eastern Churches, Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, described the Pope's discourse as very powerful. He told Antonella Palermo that the group present at the audience was deeply touched by his words, as he identified exactly the main problems of humanity today and of the Eastern Churches in particular.
They are all victims of war, and of war which is promoted, even if not visibly, by powers that are not local, but become local because they mingle into the problems of the country, and they try to destabilize the area in order to destabilize another great big power, which is the enemy, or they feel their own enemy. This is what is terrible, that those people will come after and offer their money to rebuild society that have been destroyed because of their plans of war. This is what seems to me a kind of ambiguity, something that is deeply opposite what is honest and clear and transparent.
The Pope has also said that faith, religion must never be used or exploited for power.
It is evident, it is exactly what we see everywhere. When faith becomes slogan, propaganda, it's not the faith. Let us remember that the Christians were a religion of losers, not of winners. Jesus Christ was put on a cross. It means that society wanted to get rid of Jesus Christ, and the Christians were persecuted. How can we become the loudspeakers of the persecution, of the power that persecutes the other? It's impossible. It's a contradiction. It means that we have to make a deep exam of our conscience to see what our faith is and how much the institution has become more relevant than the announcement of Christ dead and risen.
Thanks there to the prefect of the Dicastery for the Eastern Churches, Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, speaking to Vatican Radio. Meanwhile, in remarks to a delegation from the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople, Pope Francis today expressed his hopes of traveling to Turkey in 2025 to celebrate the 1,700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Pope Francis has expressed his desire to visit the area of Nicaea in 2025 to mark the 1700th anniversary of the First Ecumenical Council. "It's a trip I wholeheartedly desire to make," the Pope said on Friday morning as he greeted a delegation from the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople, which is in Rome for the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, the founders of the Church in Rome. The customary visit is reciprocated by a delegation from the Catholic Church to Istanbul on the Feast of St. Andrew, traditionally held to be the founder of the Church at Constantinople. In his address to the delegation this morning, the Holy Father welcomed the opportunity to experience the joy of fraternal encounter and to bear witness both to the profound bonds that unite the two churches and to the firm resolve to progress together towards the restoration of unity. Pope Francis highlighted in particular his numerous meetings with the current Ecumenical Patriarch, Bartholomew I, especially their encounter in Jerusalem in 2014 to mark the 50th anniversary of the historic meeting between their predecessors, St. Paul VI and Athenagoras I. Pope Francis recalled, too, the peace ceremony in the Vatican Gardens, which took place shortly after that meeting in Jerusalem. Together, Pope Francis and Patriarch Bartholomew welcomed representatives of Israel and Palestine in order to invoke peace in the Holy Land, in the Middle East, and throughout the world. Present events have shown us the necessity and urgency of praying together for peace, the Pope said, so that the war may end, the leaders of nations and the parties in conflict may rediscover the path to concord, and all parties come to recognize one another as brothers and sisters. He noted that this invocation for peace is extended to all conflicts, especially the ongoing war in Ukraine. Pope Francis concluded his address on Friday morning with the prayer that the Lord might grant that we may continue to walk on the path that he points out to us, which is always the way of love, reconciliation, and mercy. I'm Christopher Wells.
Also confirmed today, Pope Francis will take his usual July break from most of his activities, according to the prefecture of the papal household. As he has for years, the Holy Father will suspend general audiences as well as most activities and other meetings during July to allow for a period of rest. However, as he has always done in the past, the Pope will continue to pray the Angelus on Sunday at noon with the faithful in St. Peter's Square, and that extends to all Sundays throughout July. And finally, the Vatican cricket team has arrived in London for its 10th Light of Faith tour. This year's edition will see the Vatican take on the England seniors, London's St. Mary's University, and in a highly anticipated match at Windsor Castle, the King Charles's official cricket team. Joseph Tulloch is on the ground in London, and he has all the details. Let's listen.
This is the Vatican cricket team's 10th foreign tour since its formation in 2014. Previous destinations have included Argentina, Kenya, and Spain. The aim of this year's trip is, as always, to promote dialogue between the Catholic Church and the host country. And there is also emphasis on the fact that the players, who are all seminarians and priests based in Rome, are ambassadors for the Catholic priesthood. As the team's director, Father Eamon O'Higgins, reminded the team at a meeting in Rome prior to departure, they may well be the only Catholic priests that many of those they interact with during the tour will ever meet. The Vatican squad is part of Atletica Vaticana, an umbrella organisation bringing together all the Vatican's athletes. Earlier this year, Pope Francis thanked Atletica Vaticana for its commitment to, quote, promoting fraternity, inclusion and solidarity, and for bearing witness to the Christian faith among sportswomen and men. In the particularly dark historical moment that we are living, the Pope said, sport can build bridges, break down barriers and foster peaceful relations. The Vatican team arrived in London early today at about midday UK time. Tomorrow, on Saturday, they have their first two matches, both against the England over-60s at Wormsley Estate. The next fixture will be on Monday the 1st of July, when the team will travel to Arundel Castle to take on St. Mary's University, a Catholic institution based in Twickenham. Then, on the Wednesday, they will play against the King's XI, King Charles's squad, at Windsor Castle, which is one of the British royal family's residences. After a tour of Westminster Abbey on Thursday the 4th of July, the team will return to Rome on the 5th. Vatican Radio will be travelling with the team for the length of the visit, providing regular updates and match reports, so do stay tuned for more. In London, I'm Joseph Tulloch.
You too can help the Pope help others. With a small donation of great symbolic value, you can show your love and trust for the Holy Father. Let's all join the Pope in proclaiming the gospel and caring for those most in need. Persons and families who are struggling, those suffering in wars, or who need humanitarian assistance. Go to www.peterspence.va and click on Donate Now.
Thanks for joining us today in this edition of Vatican and World News. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.